Another NBA preview today, and we are moving our attention to the Washington Wizards, and we are talking with Ben Strober, who is the host of Locked On Wizards podcast with us right now. Ben, how you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. Appreciate you taking the time to chat, little Washington Wizards. I guess, first of all, I always like to, you know, kind of look back at the previous year, and so we can get a little, insight into, you know, where we've come and where we've come from, I guess. First of all, Ben, you know, looking back on the Wizards last year, I mean, there was a pretty well established goal in sight, with it being Cooper Flagg, and that did not happen due to some poor lottery luck. But what were your overall takeaways from the Wizards season as a whole, and maybe what was accomplished or not accomplished?
Well, what definitely was accomplished is they certainly lost enough games. They gave themselves the second highest odds to land the number one overall pick, which was ultimately the goal. And you're in the second year of a complete teardown, which this organization has finally gone into here under this new regime with Will Dawkins and Michael Winger. It's something that really had to happen for quite some time. The contract that was given out to Bradley Beal from the previous regime really set this franchise back for quite some time. So last year you go out there and you lose 64 games, but at the same time, if you look at it from a glass half full perspective, you had two separate losing streaks over 15 games, which means the games for the most part were really not competitive. And well, yeah, you were trying to lose plenty of games so you could establish yourself as a top team in the lottery, which they ended up doing. You wanted to see some more meaningful development from some of your young guys. You wanted to see those guys compete out there, but ultimately that was not the case. And I think that's something that you see often with these teams that are in these tank mode type of seasons where maybe guys start to lose a little bit of faith, the morale goes down within the organization, guys will play out of system. And ultimately, the team was just so damn bad defensively, one of the worst teams defensively once again in basketball. So ultimately, that's what led to them being as bad as they were record-wise and why the games were so non-competitive for the most part. But this year, I think there's definitely some optimism that they're going to be a little bit more competitive. We'll ultimately probably still finding themselves in a similar position record-wise.
Yeah, that's that roster looks quite a bit different. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, eventually they do get that number six overall pick and Trey Johnson of Texas, who, you know, many have described as the best pure shooter. Con Knipple is in this draft. So Trey Johnson, you got to be a really good shooter to be a better shooter than him. Get Will Riley at number 21. I guess, how do you see these two, you know, fitting in right away? What is kind of the plan of attack when it comes to the Wizards this year with these two guys?
Trey Johnson, I think, will make an instant impact at the next level. And it became very evident to me really watching him in the summer league. Just something about the way he plays with the basketball in his hands, the level of confidence a guy that possesses that's only 19 years old. He went into the SEC conference as a super young kid, 18, 19-year-old. And he goes out there and he just dominates. He looks so confident with the jump shot, as you mentioned, almost 40% from the field in the best conference in college basketball. I think he's instantly going to be a splash for this team. Everything about his game, his shooting ability, just screams to me that it'll translate to the next level. It's really going to be, can they develop him in the certain areas where maybe they feel like he falls short, whether that's finishing right at the rim or even defensively. That was one thing they cited to him in his tape in the pre-draft process. They showed him plays where they felt like he took off defensively. And Johnson himself said that became a point of emphasis for motivation for him, that he wanted to become a stronger defender. Now, for Will Riley, I don't think you see as much of him early on in the season. They have a super congested room on the wing right now, and it got even more crowded when they added Cam Whitmore to the mix in early July. They traded two second-round picks to get him. So it's a major logjam they have over there, and I know the lineups are going to change so vastly throughout the season because ultimately you have a couple of veterans here like Chris Middleton who you're unsure if you will see them the entire season. The organization probably would like to deal those guys at the deadline if possible, including C.J. McCollum as well, but might not be too easy to do with the current contracts those two players are on. But ultimately, they're gonna have a lot of different lineups they'll put out there because they're going to want to see different things from each of those guys. Will Riley, I think, actually could be a candidate for a guy that would play with the G League affiliate at times during the season with the Capital City Go-Go, but it remains to be seen. I think he possesses some good skill, but ultimately very, very raw coming out of Illinois.
Yeah, and then, of course, there were some other changes. There were some other changes throughout the offseason as well. Malachi Branham acquired via trade. Dylan Jones acquired via trade. C.J. McCollum, which you alluded to. Kelly Olynyk, Blake Wesley, Cam Whitmore. Lots of guys brought in. Some other guys moving out. Just give me your thoughts on this roster as a whole and kind of what it looks like and where their strengths will lie.
So there's just a lot of minutes that have to go around for a lot of different players, and I'm not sure how they're going to orchestrate that exactly because obviously You have plenty of guys that are going to feel they deserve to play 20 to 25 minutes per game on this team, but ultimately that can't happen every single night. But the way they've constructed this roster at this point is you're throwing as many things at the wall and seeing what sticks. Because Whitmore is a guy that kind of comes from an interesting situation. He gets drafted 20th overall to Houston. The Wizards were really high on him throughout that draft process, actually, the same year they took Bilal Coulibaly, who starts the year injured for this Wizards team. But Whitmore ultimately never really able to carve out a role for himself, despite his per 36 being around 22 points per game through the first 2 years he's been in the association. Houston is just in a win-now mode. It's very evident from the moves they've made in the offseason as well, going out there and acquiring Kevin Durant. There wasn't really a spot for Cam Whitmore, and ultimately they felt like moving him was in his best interest as well, so he gets to come home. He's a Maryland native, so it'll be nice to see him kind of come back and play here. He grew up a fan of the Wizards, so an interesting move for him. But ultimately, the moves they made to move off the contracts of Sadiq Bey and Jordan Poole at the trade, or not the trade deadline, but over the summer, you're freeing up a ton of financial flexibility for this team come next summer. They're going to have about $100 million in cap space in the next offseason. And not to say the Wizards are going to go out there and try to spend big in free agency and sign some star player, because that's pretty unrealistic. We know that free agency isn't quite the same as it used to be around the association, and the Wizards have never really been a team that's been able to make a big splash in free agency regardless. But with that being said, when you have the financial flexibility the Wizards will possess, it's going to allow them to trade for some more bad contracts. The Wizards have essentially become a hub for that, because teams who have given out these lucrative contracts to players they don't feel like are beneficial to their organization at the time, or they don't really have the money to pay them anymore based on what they're trying to do, they can trade those guys to Washington and ultimately give Washington some pretty strong assets in return. And I think that's going to be the plan going forward. So if you're a Wizards fan, you got to be satisfied that the future outlook has been put forward by the new regime that's here in D.C.
Ben Schrober again, Locked On Wizards, NBA preview on the Washington Wizards today. Ben, we've obviously talked about kind of a busy offseason there. What are some other storylines when it comes to the Wizards this year?
It's definitely going to be year two of Alex Saar, because kind of a mixed bag for him in his rookie season. He started out a little bit slow, had a really good month of December where he won the Rookie of the Month award. And in the last 3 months or so of the season, you maybe saw the flashes of what the Wizards and other teams saw in him to go so high in a, you know, supposed a pretty weak draft class. Saar, a guy that struggled with efficiency, and maybe the shot selection was part of the reason he took a lot of shots, maybe around the mid-range area, trying to create for himself that you ultimately wouldn't like to see from him. I want to see him be much more comfortable under the rim and in the paint, because when he got 2 feet under the basket at times last year, he just looked a little bit uncomfortable. He left a lot of points on the table because of how uncomfortable he looked around the rim. I think he's going to be great defensively. I'd like to see him get a little better as a rebounder, because you're going to struggle as a team when your leading rebounder is only averaging around 6.5 boards per game, and that's where Alex Saar was last year, so you'd like to see him improve from that. But aside from Alex Saar, another guy from that draft class, the last guy the Wizards took in that 2024 class, Keyshawn George, I expect him to emerge for this team. I feel like he's had one of the more talked-about off-seasons. Just from the organization, things that we've heard from the coaching staff, from the front office, they have ranted and raved about how good they think Keyshawn George is going to be. He had a really good tournament playing with Canada this past summer. So that's definitely going to be something to look out to see how he emerges as an offensive player for this team as well. Not sure if he'll get the opportunity to start at the four or not with Chris Middleton around, but he's someone to look out for sure.
How about my guy Bilal Coulibaly?
It's interesting with Bilal, because this is a really big year for him. The first 2 seasons of his career, he ultimately doesn't finish them with season-ending injuries, which is tough to see for a guy that, you know, you bring him in here as a big project player, because you see what he can do defensively. He already is one of the better defenders around the league. He's a guy that will get in the face of other teams' number one options and ultimately shut them down. So you love to see that, but Bilal, he becomes extension eligible for the rookie extension in October of 2026, so this is kind of the year where maybe you tell him this is where you put up or shut up. Are we going to see him develop offensively the way they hope? The athleticism is there for the kid. He's had a couple of jaw-dropping dunks. If you just watch him play, he can get downhill, get to the basket. But ultimately, in this league, you want to be effective as a three-point shooter from the outside. And during the Eurobasket, he had a couple of games where he was hot from beyond the arc, looked good as a catch-and-shoot guy, but ultimately cooled off big time. And maybe the right thumb ligament tear that he now has just had surgery on, which will sideline him for the first 2 weeks of the season, was a part of that. But this is a really big year for Bilal Coulibaly because ultimately the Wizards are in a position, you're still rebuilding. You got to find out who's going to stick around here long term. And while Bilal, I think, is a very good player, they might want to see more from him offensively. And the moves they've made around the wings to congest it even more would dictate that they want to see more out of him. I think there's a good amount of pressure on Bilal Coulibaly this year.
Okay, yeah. Ben, before I let you go, when it comes to a successful season for the Wizards, you know, obviously last year kind of had that goal of winning the lottery. You know, they put themselves in good position to do so. What does it look like this year? What does the Wizards front office maybe even need to see when it comes to, you know, making this a successful year?
It's funny, they'll be lottery bound once again. They have a top eight protected pick that would go to the New York Knicks if they're unable to be in the top eight in the draft. So finishing bottom four guarantees that you get there. Now, I do think they can win a couple more games than they did last year. I think the prediction I've been pretty steady on for the most part throughout the offseason was that this team wins maybe 23 to 24 games. Ultimately, they improve by 5 or 6 wins. I think talent-wise, they have the ability to do so. But I think the coaching staff, the front office, they were very strategic in the way they did it last year. They will make sure that this team does not sack itself out of the lottery because ultimately you still are a major piece in the draft away from truly being competitive again. This is the last year where you really have that draft pick that kind of hangs over your head. Maybe you use that as your fuel to say this is why as a Wizards fan you need to be patient. You need to just hope to see meaningful development from your guys while they compete. For 82 games. Yeah, they're going to lose a lot of games, but you want to see them be competitive. You don't want to see them go on multiple double-digit losing streaks again. You want to see Alex Saar have a really good second year, Bob Carrington hopefully solidify himself as a potential point guard of the future for this team, and just see contributions across the board and see guys that are actually getting better. If you're out there just losing every game by 30 points and you end up losing 65 games or whatever in your lottery, fine, you know, it's a thing that could end up happening. It could be a good thing if you do actually luck out and win the lottery and get a chance at one of the top players in what's going to be a really stacked class next year. But if you're a Wizards fan, you want to see guys get better. You don't want to be an embarrassment the way you were last year.
Once again, Ben Strober, Locked On Wizards, talking Washington Wizards, our latest NBA preview. Ben, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it. And have yourself a great rest of your day. And enjoy the season, okay?
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it a lot.